Now, let me preface this message with a couple of comments. I am not a religious promoter trying to raise money to support a budget or a program which I have organized and which I am conducting. We don't have a budget here. We don't have a budget committee. We don't get together at the end of the year and determine a budget for next year. We operate month by month. What God sends, we use to preach the gospel, to minister the gospel. If God sends a lot, we use a lot. If the Lord cuts it down, we'll cut out the work. We're not going to operate on credit. We had a television program in St. Kitts. Had one here in Huntington, one down in Madisonville, Kentucky, that's paid for by people there. Radio broadcast in Florence, Kentucky, and we had a television program on St. Kitts. And I came in the office one Monday morning, and Martha, my secretary, says, we need $2,300 for St. Kitts broadcast this week. I said, what do we have in the treasury? She said, $1,800. I said, drop it. If the money's not there, we're not going to spend it. If God sends in more, we'll add it. But I'm not promoting a program. And my message this morning is not a stewardship message. We're stewards of the grace of God. And if you're a good steward of the grace of God, you'll be a good steward of all of the means of grace. But I'm not promoting giving. Not at all. But I made this study years ago on giving for my own benefit. I knew there was something wrong with the way the average preacher approached this business of giving. I knew there was something wrong with arm-twisting, pledge-signing, stewardship Sundays, making folks feel bad because they didn't do something. I knew there was something wrong with that. And I wanted, for my own benefit and understanding, to get into the subject of giving so that I might give scripturally, so that God might bless, and that I might give according to His will. And then another reason, to restore the joy of giving. There's a joy in giving. There's a happiness. And the Bible says here, God loveth a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, a person who gives from a heart that rejoices, not that holds it tight and feels grudgingly and of necessity, but he gives willingly and cheerfully. And that's how this message is born. And I want it, and I have the answer. I have it right out of here. I'm as cocky and confident as any prophet that ever walked on this subject of giving, because I have the message. I have the way that God has taught us. Now, there's so much false teaching and preaching on the subject of giving. It's as phony and false as any subject that's dealt with today. And we need to find out what the Lord says about it, what God says about it, what the apostles say about giving. Most preaching on the subject of giving puts men and women under one of four false conditions. Sinful places is what they are. The first is giving because it's your duty. Giving because it's your duty. Preachers preach. Now you know this is true, and I do too. They go back to Malachi chapter 3. And they put believers under a law to give 10% of what they have. Now, there's hardly a person in this building that hasn't heard tithing preached, and I was taught tithing from the time I had a paper route as a little boy. My pastor and my father taught me to give 10% of what I had. And when I made my collections on Saturday, some of you did the same thing. I'd take out of every dollar a dime and say, that's God's, the rest of it's mine. And that was under the law. There's no question about that. The Jewish nation tithed under law. There were 12 tribes. The tribe of Levi owned no land. They ministered about the temple. And they were supported by the things of the temple. And all the other tribes gave 10%, not just of their money. They gave 10% of their sheep, 10% of their cattle, 10% of their horses, 10% of their camels, 10% of their food, 10% of their spices, 10% of their cloak, 10% of everything. Ye tithe anise, cumin, so forth, Christ said. They tithe everything. And that Levitical tribe, that tribe of Levi, lived off that tithe. The people were required to do it. They wanted the law to do it. They wanted the law to be circumcised. Every male that opened the womb was circumcised. That was a law. You better do it. They kept a Sabbath day. Saturday was the Sabbath day. From the sun going down on Friday till the sun going down on Saturday was a Sabbath day. You didn't cook. You didn't wash. You didn't walk. You didn't pick up stick. You didn't do anything. That was the law of the Sabbath. They had their feast days and all this. Now, the preachers today, they're not ordering anybody to be circumcised. But it's in the Old Testament. They're not ordering anybody to keep the Sabbath we didn't keep yesterday. Our Lord lay in the tomb on the Sabbath day. He is our Sabbath. But they don't require men to keep that Sabbath day that's under the law. They don't require men to keep the feast. They don't require us to bring the purification sacrifices, the turtle dove, nor the sheep, nor the lamb. We're not required to live under the dietary laws of Moses in the Old Testament. We're not required to live on anything but the tithe. And the preacher goes back to the Old Testament and picks up the tithe. Why? Because they've got to support a program, and that's the reason. They've got to have that money. Got to have it. And they can't trust the graciousness and the spirit and the heart and love of people to give freely, willingly. They've got to coerce them and make it their duty. And I'll tell you this. Anything I give to God or to my neighbor or to the church, or for the preaching of the gospel, because it's my duty, God won't honor it. It's contrary to the principle of grace. It's contrary entirely to grace. But there are people right now who are under this burden, and it's not their fault, it's the preacher's fault. He put them under that burden and gives them a duty, a responsibility, and they feel guilty if they don't give that. My friends, 10% doesn't belong to God. Everything belongs to God. He said, if I were hungry, I wouldn't ask you. He said, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. The silver and gold that hadn't even been dug out of the ground is mine. You're his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell therein. We put a fence around our property, but God doesn't put up fences. It's all his property. We brand our cattle. He doesn't brand his. They're all his. We get copyrights on our songs, but the bird's song, no copyright on it. It's God's song. Here's another rule under which people operate. Another motive for giving is not only duty, but reward. Now, you hear this. You'll hear it on television. You'll turn any program on tonight. If you'll give 10%, God will reward you. If you'll give 10%, God will give you a better job, a bigger home, a bigger car. He'll prosper you materially. In other words, you give to get. And that's contrary to grace. Giving to get something in return is selfish. It's contrary to the grace of God. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ told us to give and to lend, hoping for nothing in return. Is that right, Cecil? Hoping for nothing. He tells us to lend without interest, usury. That's what interest is, usury. Lend to our neighbors and friends without usury. Now, I know the bank's in business, and they got to operate, and they charge interest, but you don't. You're not supposed to. That's contrary to the Word of God. You lend one of your brothers money, don't you charge him interest? Christ forbade that. He said, you lend hoping for nothing in return. You give hoping for nothing in return. If I give because it's my duty, or I give because I hope to get something back, that's sinful. That's contrary to grace. Now, you know that's so, and I know it's so. It's contrary to grace. I'll tell you another motive that preachers use. And that is the motive of fear. If you don't pay your tithe, God will punish you. If you don't give your tithe, God will collect it through a tragedy. I heard an old preacher say one time, you either pay your tithe or God will take it out the back door in a coffin. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, surely. That's a poor reason to give, isn't it? That's a poor reason to help others. If you don't give, God will punish you with financial tragedy and failure. I'll tell you this. You may give cheerfully and willingly and abundantly, and God may be pleased to prosper you, and He may not. It's all in His hands. He'll do what He will. He'll prosper you or He won't prosper you, but I'll tell you this, it won't be because of something you did, it'll be because of what Christ did. That's so. So don't get under this syndrome of fear. Don't do that. The Lord God doesn't work that way. And then the fourth thing under which preachers place people is this thing of praise. Praise. Now, people like to be praised. I do. You do. We all cut out that way. We got too much of it in our flesh. We like to see our names in print. We like to hear people know how generous we are. We like to, when we do something, we want folks to know about it. And Christ said that's wrong. And you know, a lot of preachers use this. They'll get on the radio and say, so-and-so sent us so much, and so-and-so, and here's a card comes in, Miss So-and-so is going to send $100 a month. Our Lord said, when you do your alms, don't sound the trumpet before you. He said, when you pray, pray in secret. Don't tell somebody you pray three times a day. Don't tell somebody you get up every morning and pray. Don't tell somebody you fasted last year. He said, when you fast, wash your face and comb your hair, that men might not know that you're fasting. Carry your burden before God, your intercession and your prayer and your study life. Don't. You know, I've heard preachers get up and say, well, this morning at 4 o'clock when I was having my time alone with the Lord, I discovered something in the Word. He wanted you to know He'd been up praying at 4 o'clock. That's exactly why He said that. Why didn't He just say, the Lord showed me something in His Word? Why did He have to say, I was up at 4 o'clock? No time with God. Why is 4 o'clock better than 8 o'clock? What if you live in California and it's 4 o'clock over somewhere else, you know? I was up at 4 o'clock Tokyo time one morning. But that's just, you see, it's pride. It's nothing but pride. And we reek with it, and God won't bless it. And any time we appeal to people to do certain things, and we're going to call their names or recognize them or praise them or brag on them, we lose our reward. Christ said, if I give to be seen of men, that's my reward. And when I do, and when they brag on me, that's it. It's counseled out in glory. Did you know that? It's counseled out. It's exactly right. If I give an offering, say the church's in trouble, and I give an offering, and I say, and everybody knows about it, it's counseled out in glory. I might as well have bought me a new television, because it's counseled out. God says, you have your reward. Well, giving out of a sense of duty, and my friends, this is so. And the thing about it, I know tradition's a hard thing to break. And traditions, like the tentacles of an octopus, wrap themselves around us and have to be cut off one at a time. They're hard to break, but I'm telling you this is true. Giving 10% because it's your duty, giving it in order to get a blessing, for that reason, that motive, giving because you're afraid not to, or giving to be seen of men, is sinful and contrary to the grace of God. That all right? That's a step. And that's why I'm so confident. I know those things are so. Our prayer ought to be, my prayer ought to be, God, teach me to pray privately, secretly, in the closet, before the throne, sincerely, from my heart, on behalf of my brethren. Teach me to pray. Not to go through a ritual, not to go through a somebody come out and say a little prayer for me. There ain't no little prayers. Prayers are big. But we've got to have a little talk with Jesus. If you have one with him, it'll be something big, brother. I'll tell you that. Ain't going to be no little talk. But we've got in this pressure cooker and can't get out of it. Teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to love. Not to talk about it, not just to sign it on my letters, but genuinely, fervently, white hot, affectionately, for God's glory, to love people. Who are my brethren and who are not my brethren? To love them. Not to tolerate them, but love them. And Lord, teach me to believe. If you will believe, you'll see the glory of God. That's what he said. If you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. We don't see the glory of God because we just flat don't believe. We do up here. We got some doctrines we believe, but we want to really believe is to see the glory of God. To believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And then, Lord, teach me to give. Now, in the New Testament, there are two chapters on nothing but giving. 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9. And I'm going to give you this morning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words. 8 words. You can just write down the words in the scripture and go back and read it again. You don't need to write the whole notes on the whole message. Just write these 8 words and the scriptural reference. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Paul calls giving a grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace. Giving is a grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Now, listen to him. He's been talking about there making up a bounty, making up an offering for the other churches and the other missionaries and other people. Therefore, verse 7, as you abound in everything, you abound in faith. This was a believing church. You abound in utterance, that is preaching. They spoke in other languages, the gospel. Utterance. You abound in knowledge. Knowledge of God, knowledge of his son, the gospel. You abound in diligence. You had zeal and enthusiasm. You abound in your love to the apostles and to God's preachers. See that you abound in this grace also. Abound. Overflow in this grace of giving. He calls it a grace. We want to overflow in faith. We want to believe. We want to overflow in diligence and enthusiasm and preaching. And knowledge and love for one another. We want not just to reach the bare minimum requirements. We want to overflow in these graces. Well, he said, see that you overflow in this grace too. This is a grace. Faith, love, diligence, knowledge, utterance are acts and works of grace. So is giving. Giving is a mark and evidence of grace in the soul. That's the reason I'm saying this. There's no believer who has not faith. Can't be a believer and not have faith. There's no believer who has not love. There's no believer who has not a knowledge of Christ. Even so, there is no believer who does not give. It's a grace. Giving is a grace. Generosity. There's no such thing as a greedy believer. There's no such thing as an ungracious believer. It's just not so. Just not so. All right, here's the second word. The next verse, verse 8, is the word love. I speak not by commandment. I'm not commanding you when to give or how much to give. Now, if tithing is enforced, then, my friends, I can speak by commandment. You know, but do you know this? Now, listen to me. Hold your seat there. 21 epistles in the New Testament. Romans through Jude. The word tithing or tithe is not in any of them but one Hebrews, three verses, where Paul talks about Abraham tithing. Now you find it. Here's 21 epistles, the Apostle Paul, James, Jude, John, and Peter, writing to the churches. He tells them how to observe the Lord's table. He tells them how to baptize. He tells them how to preach, what to preach. He tells them what to do about tongues, going to law, marriage. He deals with husband, wife. He deals with children. He deals with the home. He deals with elders. He deals with deacons. He deals with pastors. He deals with every subject. He doesn't say one word about time. Not one word. It's not in there. I'll give you $100 bill tonight. You'll find tithe, tithing, or tithes in any epistle of any apostle to the early church. Except when Paul in Hebrews talks about Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek and Levi paying tithes in the loins of Abraham. Now, if tithing is required, why didn't the apostles teach it? They don't leave us in the dark on everything else. Why didn't they teach tithing? Well, they taught giving. They didn't teach tithing. They taught the grace of giving. The grace of giving. And giving is a grace, all right? The word love. I speak not by commandment, verse 8, but by occasion of the example of others, the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He's saying here, I'm not ordering you to give anything. You know, even when Ananias and Sapphira, now, when the early church, because of persecution, people lost their jobs, they lost their families, they lost their homes, they lived together, and they had all things common, and some of them sold their property and houses and gave it to the apostles to distribute to the poor people who didn't have anything, and Ananias and his wife Sapphira said, we got a piece of property over here, let's sell it, and let's give it to the apostles. I tell you what we'll do. We'll sell it, we'll keep half of it and give them half of it. We'll tell them we did like the rest. We gave all of it. And so they concocted that little scheme between them. They wanted the praise of men. So they sold the property, and Ananias said to Sapphira, said, now put the rest of it there in the cookie jar, and we'll take this to Peter. And he brought it to the apostles, and everybody was bringing their gifts and putting out. Ananias said, we had a piece of property, Simon, and we sold it. And we want to give it all to help the poor in the church. Peter said, Ananias, that was yours. You didn't have to sell it. Nobody told you to sell it. Nobody commanded you to sell it. Why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? Was it not yours? He said, I'm not ordering you to give. Nobody's ordered to give. What is the motivation? It's love. I want to help Bill Clark over there preach the gospel because I love the gospel he preaches and I love him. I want to help the young people of our church because we love them. We want to keep the gospel going over the tri-state area over television because we love people. We love Christ and we love needful people and we want them to know the gospel. You ladies, help one another because you love one another. You feed your family because you love your family. You men go out and work. You work so hard. You punch a time clock. You go to work every day. You work hard. You give yourself in the coldest weather and the hottest weather. Why? You love your family. The Father loved us and He gave the Son, and the Son loved us and He gave Himself. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of Christ, that though He was rich for your sake, because He loved you, He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Brethren, you know I'm right, because I'm reading it right here out of the Word. Giving is a grace. It's the evidence of grace in the soul. And the motive for giving is not duty or commandment, it's love. I did it because I love you. This church gives me a car every 2 years to drive around preaching the gospel. Why do you do that? Because you have to, because you love me. And you love the gospel I preach. That's why. If I thought it's for any other reason, I'd ride a bicycle. Love. Paul said, I may give all my goods to feed the poor and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. That's right. All right, here's the third word. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:12. Here it is. For if there be first a willing mind. There it is, the word willing. According to that a man hath. Our giving is to be based on what we have. Now here, hang on. I'm going to destroy another tradition. Like skeet shooting when you throw something up and blow it to smithereens. I'm going to throw up your pledge card and every pledge anybody ever signed and shoot it right out of the sky. It's wrong. You come to church next Sunday and I pass you out a pledge card that 1986 you're going to give so much, you tear it up. Don't you sign it. It's contrary to the Word of God. That's exactly right. Let me show you. It says right here in verse 12, there first must be a willing mind. I'm giving because I'm willing. I give because I'm willing. It is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. What do you have right now? What do you have? I'm not talking about what you plan on making next year. I'm talking about what do you have. Then you give based on what you have. And any preacher or religious organization that implores you and commands you and encourages you to promise to give so much money next year is contrary to what this book says right here. That's right, Gerald. It's wrong. I can't give what I don't have. I'm saying this is 11/18, December the 29th, 1985. I can't say tomorrow I'm going to do anything. I got a television broadcast tomorrow night. God willing, I'll be there. I'm not signing a card saying I'll be there. That's presumption. I'll say God willing. And next year I plan to give for our missionary program for this church. How much? I don't know. It's according to Ronnie what God gives me. Totally according to what he gives me. I can't give what he doesn't give me. You know what a preacher said one time? And we get caught up in these things. He said, now, if you'll sign a pledge card that you'll give $50 a week in 1986, something good will happen that wouldn't have happened, and something bad that would have happened won't happen. Chew on that a little while. Boy, that's why folks sign cards. We give willingly. The word duty's not here. The word tie's not here. The word responsibility's not here. The word debt's not here. The word is willing. Willing. Said, preacher, you keep on many more words, you're going to cut this offering. No, I'm not the least bit afraid. You know what? It'll increase it when people get the joy of giving. That's right. And then the next word is proportion. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. Let me go back and pick one up here. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1, Paul, you have it? 1 Corinthians 16, 1. Paul said, now concerning the collection for the saints. This is what we're going to talk about, collection. Take up a collection. Take up an offering. As I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, I'm going to give them to you upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by in store. How? As God has prospered him, proportionately. As God has, not as you expect God to bless you, as he has blessed you proportionately. Now, everything I have came from God. Everything you have. Who maketh thee to differ? What hast thou that thou dost not receive? So my gift to the church and to the gospel and to others is in proportion as God has blessed me. He uses the word equality too. In other words, the person that has a lot, well, he should give a lot. The person that has little, he should give proportionate according to what he has. And the amount doesn't make any difference. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed us to give willingly and cheerfully from our hearts because we love him, and the amount doesn't mean anything to him. He was standing by the offering one time when the people come back giving their offerings, and one widow lady came and laid 2 coins. Now, some of those people had brought stacks of money and tithe of everything they had, deeds for property. She put 2 coins. And our Lord said, she hath given more than all of them. Is how she gave it. She gave of what she had. She gave all she had. It wasn't the amount. And that's the same thing. I know they're missionaries, and they tell me, they say, some churches, this church can send large missionary offerings. There's some smaller churches only send $15 or $20 or $25. Well, because they can't send $500, should they quit? Oh, no, no. Their $20 is just as blessed and important as your $500. It is. It is. It certainly is. You know, I'm a steward of the grace of God. The Lord's blessed me and my family. And he's given me the stewardship of whatever he's given me. And as a good steward, I'm going to share it. I'm going to invest it. That's about the talents. You know the parable of the talents. Use it. Some people, God entrusts them with a whole lot. Well, they have the responsibility to use it to bless more people. Some people, God's given them a little bit. Well, be a good steward if you have 10 talents, 5 talents, or 1 talent. The man with 1 talent is just as responsible to be a good steward as a man with 10. You say, I don't have but 2 horses. Well, use them for God's glory as if you had a whole herd of horses. I don't have but just $100. Well, use it for God's glory. You're just as responsible and accountable for the glory of God as a man that's got 200,000. And he's responsible for that too. Be a good steward. I heard a story one time. A salesman got on an airplane. And he sat down beside a believer, a child of God. They'd never met one another. And the airplane started up and they went up there, and the salesman, you know, like most salesmen, they want to talk. And he turned to the believer there, to the man sitting there reading his book, you know. And he turned to him and said, I'm in business with my father. And I said, I am too. And the salesman said, we're in the jewelry business. And the believer said, well, we are too. You know, it says he'll make up his jewels. And the salesman said, well, my father and I just deal in the best jewels. Oh, he said, my father and I, we deal in the best jewels too. Well, he said, I'm in business with my father, and my father has trusted me with a lot of his business. He said, my father trusts me with a whole lot of his too. He said, well, I'm on my way now to a meeting with my father. The believer said, I am too. And the salesman said, well, I hope I can give a good account. The believer said, I hope I can too. That's a good story. I hope I can give a good account. Trusted me with a whole lot. He said on the first, here's the 5th word, the word everyone. On the first day of the week, let every one of you. Let's teach our children to give. Let's teach them to give. I don't have any rules or regulations how to go about it. I know the tithe is not the way. But if we can teach them, say when we take up a missionary offering or something, encourage them to have a part in it. Encourage them to share with their neighbors, friends. Encourage them maybe to give something they have to somebody else. Just some way teach our children how to give, how to be generous. By nature, we're takers. By nature, we're hoarders. And you learn these things early. Somebody said one time that a child's behavior patterns are established by the time he's 5 years old. His behavior patterns. And maybe we need to teach these little ones to turn loose of some things, or to share with their buddies, or to have a part in the offering. I know giving's a grace, and it's learned from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, but at least we can instruct them. There's got to be some knowledge up here before it can be in operation in the heart. All right, the next word, turn to 2 Corinthians 9, is the word liberally. 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 In 2 Corinthians 9, 6, it says, "This I say unto you." Now here he uses the illustration of the farmer. "This I say unto you, that he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly." Now here's a farmer. He has the seed. In order to reap, he's got to turn it loose. He can't keep it in his hand. He's got to turn it loose. He's got to plant it. And if he is stingy with his planting, if he said, "Well, I'm not going to plant just one seed here and one seed," that's how he's going to reap. "But he that soweth bountifully, scattereth the good seed, the precious seed, bountifully," he said he's going to reap bountifully. That's the law of sowing and reaping. "Even so, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly." You see that? Liberally, generously. Now here's the seventh word, the word purpose. "Now every man according as he purposes in his heart." Now I'll further shoot down tithing with that verse right there. If tithing is the way to give, then I don't need to do any purposing, do I, Jim? If tithing, there's no need for me to make any purposing. No need, no decision for me to make. It's been made. My pastor said, "Tithe, I don't have anything to say about it." Oh, yes you do. He said, "Let every man," watch it now, verse 7, "every man according as he purposes in his own heart." No preacher, religious organization, or law determines what I put in that offering this morning. You know what determines it? Is I purpose in my heart. That's exactly right. And anything else, God won't receive and God won't bless. As I purpose in my heart. I dare anybody in this world to challenge that. That's God's word. As a man purposes in his heart. So let, watch it now, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful. And the only thing I can give cheerfully is what I'm willing to give. The only thing I can give cheerfully is what I've purposed. Based on God's love for me and my love for Him, that's the only thing I can give, Richard, cheerfully. Can't give it. I can't give something that's required cheerfully. Sometimes that break my knuckles, get me to turn it loose. But if I made the decision in here and I purposed in here to do it, well, I'll run up to you and put it in your pocket. I'll run up to you and put it in your pocket. I'll say, "Hey, this is what my wife and I want to do. We talked it over. And we're not doing it because you expect it or you demand it or you require it or law requires it. We're giving because we love Christ. We love you. And this is what we purpose to do. No more, no less." God will bless that. And the next word, and I'll quit. "As unto the Lord." And I've found that in several passages. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord, for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. This, I believe, is the motivation for all things worthwhile. I've said this would solve all labor and management disputes. If people who work others, you ladies work cleaning ladies in your homes, you have folks that come to your house delivering merchandise, newspapers and all of us, most of us, have somebody in our employ in some way. You treat them like you want to be treated. As you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so unto them? That's what Scripture says. Treat them. The laborer's worthy of his hire. Treat them like you want to be treated. And you men that work for others, work as unto the Lord. We're not apple polishers and other names we had in the Navy for it, you know, but we're working as unto the Lord. And when I go to work, and even studying and preparing Sunday school lessons, bulletins, studying for messages. I'm working unto the Lord. I'm not trying to please men. I'm trying to please God. And whether I'm sweeping a floor or putting a motor together or putting in gas or cleaning a windshield and a man's paying me for that, giving my dead level best as if God was my boss. Is that not right? That's what the Word of God teaches. Give him all I got as unto the Lord for the glory of God to please Christ Jesus as if the business belonged to my God. And it does. And it does. And in this thing of giving, in this thing teaching these classes, dare I come unprepared? In preaching this message, dare I come unprepared? This is God's business. And when I give my gift, I'm not giving to Brother Mayen or the church, or I'm giving to God for the glory of God. Now, that's the solution. It all goes back to grace and love and a right ordering of the heart before the living God. I hope that's a blessing to you, but I say this to you. As I approach this subject and preach it to you, without one doubt in my mind, this is New Testament giving. That's what the Bible says about you. You can rest on it. And I say that just as confidently as I say you can rest your soul on the mercies and merits of Jesus Christ. I would not lead you astray. That's New Testament giving. That's the Bible giving. Our Father, thankful for your word. We're not left to our own minds and reasoning, which is foolishness, tradition, carnality. But you've given us your word. You've given us your word. And we love it. We love it. Our shepherd's gone before us, and we love to follow him. We love to do his will and glorify his blessed name, who loved us, gave himself for us. Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to believe. Teach us to rest in thee. Teach us to love one another. And Lord, teach us to be generous. Christ, so merciful and generous to us, so forgiving, so loving, help us to be like our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.